Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to Hype Leadership Podcast. I'm Lindsay Curry, and alongside me is my co-host, David Curry. We are excited to have you all with us today. And we are thrilled to welcome a very special guest to the show today, Scott Morris, Vice President of Orca Life. As one of the founding members of Orca Life, Scott has been in the insurance industry since 2009. He is an outstanding leader who has played a key role in the growth and expansion of Orca Life. Welcome to the show, Scott. Welcome.
Thank you, Lindsay. I'm excited. I appreciate the invitation. I would also say before we get started, I am very proud of you guys to go out on a limb, and you're not podcasters until you are, and it's cool to see. It's been fun watching you guys.
We very much appreciate that, and you know, we've really grown. I mean, all three of us have grown in this business together,
right?
And you know, because you've been here since 2009, and us since 2014. So you know, between kids and families and trips, and we've really grown. You know, we're almost like family in a sense.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm sure we'll get into some of that too.
Yes.
All the memories.
Man,
no, we definitely owe it to you, Scott, and I want to thank you as well. I guess as you say that, right, I go back to frequently about the statement. I remember Ed Milet saying, I can't remember how long ago it was I first heard that, but he talked about his first podcast, and I think he may have recorded or so thought he had recorded the session to then later find out that he didn't record that one. So. But you know,
I've done the exact same thing. That's why when you jump on our Zooms, it's automatically recording because I forgot to record it more than once.
It's taken a little bit of change over the last couple of years with Zoom, but I get it, man. But yeah, thank you for being here, brother. We appreciate it, man. Like Lindsay said, you're definitely a friend of ours. When I laughed when you all talked about the memories and how far we've come, because I thought about the first time I met you in the hospital when we were having our son and you and Julie having your son. And it's been a long journey for you, Scott. Do you ever imagine you'd be here when you were working at Hooters, you know?
No, I sure did. Absolutely not. Not at all.
Well, you guys know our deal. We like to kind of theme our show. And this week's show, I asked Scott what if he had a special quote for himself, you know, give him the honors of doing that this week. And he did. So this week's quote is, it doesn't make sense to hire smart people and tell them what to do. We hire smart people so they can tell us what to do. Mr. Steve Jobs. And, you know, Scott, as I listen to myself say that and I think about that, you know, it really makes me think a lot about the way that we've worked, right? I've always heard Glenn say, you know, I'm going to surround myself with smarter people and, really allow me to get where I need to go. But when you think about that, and when I asked you to pull a quote out, you went there, what does that mean to you?
Well, I would lead that off with, I think it's a mindset that moves leadership from being directive to collaborative. And when you live by that in your profession, I think that it empowers people. Mm-hmm. The people that you work with, they trust you because they know that they are part of a something bigger. They're part of a team. It fosters culture. And you know, I've always said, you know, wherever we're at in our path, whether that was in 2009 or it was in 2016 when all of us decided to form Orca, you know, we're not going to get to the next level of our business if we just have the same people talking about the same things over and over and over again. You know, we need new folks to come in to challenge the status quo and help us propel to the next level. You know, and I think it's just that statement to me, I heard it forever ago. And I've routinely gone back and watched that interview because it's just so much more forward thinking than saying, well, this is the way we're going to do it. And not empowering the folks that are around you to help you get there. Because, you know, you hear people talk about, you know, you're stronger as a team, you know, the weakest link is always the biggest problem, you know, and if you're not allowing people to do the things that they're good at, you know, you're letting yourself down. So
true. And Scott, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about, I guess it was probably in 2015 or 2016 when Orca formed, you actually challenged Glenn in a way saying, you know, hey, when are we going to start operating this as a business? Right. And
as a real company.
Yeah.
Right. A real company. Because for those of you who are just starting to join the podcast, you know, we are a final expense industry. We're in the final expense industry. And so, you know, we were starting this business essentially out of a home and operating out of our cars. And we were hosting meetings at the Holiday Inn Express office. And so, you know, Scott really took it upon himself to say, hey, like, we've got to start running this thing like a real business. And I really think about that quote that you just talked about and how that reflects that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we had all the nuts and the bolts. We were a real company. We just didn't look like one. And, you know, and we were kind of in that, really the first, and you all were big in the first push that we ever had with growth. You know, up to that point, you know, Glenn would hire people, but it was more like it was a passive way of growing. It was like I've got a position for you, but don't get in my way because I still got to go make my money. You know, and we had gotten to that point where, you know, when I started, we had, you know, 6 or 8 folks that were going out and knocking on doors every week. You know, like you said, working out of our car. We were picking up the leads from Glenn's partner's house at the time. You know, and it's funny to think back on how we used to operate. But then when you guys came in, you really kind of challenged us to take it to the next level in growing our business. And it got to the point where it was hard to get someone to trust us when you don't look like you actually are a business. We look like just a ragtag group of folks, you know, making money in some weird way that nobody understood. So, you know, it was just kind of a paradigm shift that I think we all needed to discuss.
Yeah. And I mean, it's easy and understandable where we came from. Right. I mean, it's commission based sales. You know, you make money by following that lead card and getting out there and selling something. So, yes, we always had the bigger vision in mind, you know, the scalability, and to duplicate and to scale, you really have to have those processes in place because, you know, again, we're not all Glenn Crabtree. We're not all Scott Morris. We're not, you know, all the Richard Sean, who was on our show last week, you know, some of these guys that have these special talents to grow and multiply that business, you have to kind of extract that knowledge of the processes to duplicate. Because again, everybody's kind of different. And we always say you have these dots to follow this process. Every house is going to be different and every person's going to take you down a couple different roads. So it's been quite the journey, I guess, together for now 11 years and kind of with that goal in mind. And we're coming off of celebrating Christmas parties with some of our team members. And just to put a statement out there that we all will appreciate, man, they all are so complimentary of the company, the process, but most of all the culture and really the environment that we have created for success, you know, because a lot of commission-based sales businesses and industries can be tough and can work against each other and fight for leads and things like that. And that's always been at our core, you know, and thank you for being part of that founding group with us that always has kept culture at the top. And that really when we talk about culture, we talk about relationships, like how we work with each other. So, Scott, and so we say all that, right? We come from this commission-based sales role, but you've kind of moved into that a different role there to again continue to pioneer and pave the path for Orca and you know, the new agent has always been our focus. The guy that's coming in, we've got to create a success path for that person so we can continue to get where we want to go. But your role's changed, and I was just going to have you kind of talk a little bit about what your role is and, you know, what you love about, we've had so much positivity in the business the last couple of years.
Yeah, you know, the role is completely different, and it's ever evolving. There's no doubt about that. You know, but when you ask me that second part, like, what do I love about my role? I mean, I love what I do. I don't want to be cliche about that either. You know, everybody would rather be on the golf course or whatever you do in your spare time, spending time with your friends and family all the time. But, you know, we all got to pay our bills. And so I feel very fortunate, though, when I think back where I was before this in the restaurant business, I would not sleep because. And I guess if I had to say, I probably had anxiety about it, but because I hated my job so bad. You know, I would have inventory every other Monday morning. And we would get there, a normal day I'd get there at 7, but on inventory days I'd get there at 6. And I wouldn't sleep, knowing I had to get up the next morning, I would not sleep because I hated it so bad. And here, I legitimately, there has never been a day. And of course, you know, everybody has their fight. As you progress and get more, you know, responsibilities, you know, there's always fires that we have to put out. But there's literally never been a day that I have woken up and said, I do not want to go to work. You know, it's just, I've been very fortunate there. And, you know, it kind of goes back to what you all were just talking about. You know, it's easy to go to work with people that you like. And if you lead with the culture that we've talked about, it makes all the other little things are so much easier. The big things are easier, you know, and the things that I love today. I mean, I would go back to that first, the first question about the quote. You know, I feel like I've been put in a place that I am able to do the things the way. You know, and I've got my parameters. You know, we've got people that we have to report to, but I have been able to do things the way that I feel like they need to be done. And if it's not exactly the way Glenn wants it done, we talk about it and figure out, you know, why are we not seeing eye to eye on those things? But it's been nice to be able to put what I feel like are my talents into a business with a lot of people that I care about. And it's with the relationships they're wonderful. I mean, I vacation with you all. I go on family vacations with agents and leaders in the business. I have true personal relationships with so many people. You know, it's been fun. I love seeing the way we change and evolve all the time. And then, you know, I guess to close that question out, I think one of my favorite things ever. And that goes from when I was knocking on doors and hiring new agents and mentoring them into being, you know, sales professionals. My favorite thing has always been bringing in a new agent and seeing their face or talking to them when they get their first success. Mm. You know,
better.
It is the greatest feeling to know that they're not going to have to do what everybody else has to do to make money. It is such a joy to watch people like you all. I remember the same thing, David, about the first time, you know, I met you. You know, we were actually going to get a
ultrasound, right?
That's what it was. And I remember me and you saying hello to each other, David, and to see the person you were then and look at who you all are now is it's so great to see it. I love that part of our business.
It truly is. It's so rewarding. I mean, there's nothing more rewarding than seeing, like you said, Scott, someone being successful or getting their first commission check, right? Or maybe their first hire or that thing that like sparks them, because then that spark is contagious.
Absolutely.
And then it you know, expands to you. And so I love that, especially as nothing more.
Absolutely. And that, you know, look, I've always said this, insurance to me is boring. I don't like insurance. It's the vehicle that gets us to where we want to go, but all the relationships is what makes it worthwhile. Helping people get to where they're trying to go, helping clients, you know, it's wonderful putting a client in a position that they didn't even know that they could achieve. So the insurance part is boring to me, but the people really make it, you know, worthwhile.
1,000%. 1,000%. So as far as, let me ask you this. So as far as your operations role, and you are really good, right? I mean, I always tout Scott because he's so tech savvy. I'm not tech savvy. He's always showing me the latest and greatest thing that's going on. And he helps me tremendously, even with a basic PowerPoint. So shout out to Scott for that. And he's laughing because he knows my capabilities on those things. But how do you see that your skill set helping propel Orca for the future?
Oh, well, you know, I've honestly never been the best at anything that I've ever done. I think back to even like, you know, like my first passion was baseball as a kid. I was never the best player. I was always really good, but I was never the best. I was that little scrawny kid that had to figure out the way. I wasn't the big, strong guy that could, you know, just overpower you with who I was as a player. But I had to think around the field, and I think I was always one of the smartest players. Same thing in the restaurant business. You know, I was a good cook when I did that. I've never waited tables. I've never been a bartender. I've never been a host. But with that being said, I was able to think my way around a restaurant. And when you came into my store, that place was running like a top because I knew how to, back to the empowering people, I knew how to put people in the best position to make the entire team work more efficiently and therefore put out a better product. You know, and I think that I've been able to do that here. You know, again, never the best salesperson. You guys, you know, Lindsay, you would write more business than me in one day than I would in a week. And I was good enough to get it done. But I also knew that my talents could be utilized somewhere a little bit better for the betterment of all of us. You know, and that's when, you know, I went and talked to Glenn in 2017. And quite frankly, I told him that he wasn't very good at running the business. And that wasn't a shot at him. That was, we were stagnant and, you know, he was too busy. And I'm going to mess this number up, but I'd read that it's something along the lines of 5% of businesses ever get to $1 million in sales. And of those that get to $1 million in sales, only 5% of those get to 5 million. And it's like every 5 million you go above that, it's another 5%. So it's like this very small amount. And the reason for that is because the person who founded the company doing whatever, that whether they're selling insurance or, you know, they've got a pencil factory, the person that's in charge and that founded the company is so busy running the business that they're not doing what got them there. Mm. And what got Orca to where we're at is Glenn being able to recruit and motivate and teach and train. And he was too busy doing all the silly little things that we all have to do to run a business. And so, you know, I think that that's what I've been able to do here is take care of the small things that make all the big things work. But then also put people in positions that is going to benefit the entire organization. So I think I've kind of figured that out. You know, again, I like from baseball. I mean, it's
right
be that way.
Well, and probably just reverting back to when you were managing and leading at the restaurant, right? I mean, reverting back to, hey, I had to pivot here and change some things up.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, Scott, thank you for, you know, just bringing to light that I guess I've never been the best at anything either. Thanks a lot. But no, I love that, man. It does make a lot of sense. You know, we've always said, if you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go far, go together. And, I thought as you were going through that, that you were going to say the reason why companies stop growing is because, you know, the CEOs, the presidents of those companies, they only have a certain skill set and they can only take things so far. So if those people in those positions don't change their mindset or perspective as if I need others to help me go farther, then at some point you stop because you yourself are only capable of so much. And yes, so a lot of people are better than us, but I do know hard work, preparation, consistency, and association with others will take you pretty daggone close to the top. You know, just stick with that. So, Scott, I wanted to ask you, you know, because here as of late, you know, we've affiliated and partnered with AmeriLife, and it's been such a great relationship. And I know that you're so connected. And, you know, as you talked earlier about that growing family, you know, I think about those trips that we've recently had with some of our other affiliates within the AmeriLife family, and it's just great. You know, so I think about our future, right? I mean, it's so big, and there's such an abundance. You've probably had more time to think than I do, maybe than I choose to, of what vision, what kind of future. Because we are on a growth path at Orca. What do you feel is coming our way, I guess?
That's a great question. You know, I think the first thing, you know, is, I mean, we're in the middle of this massive tech boom again. You know, I think you had in the 90s, you had the internet just went crazy. But, I mean, with today, I mean, AI is going to streamline everything. And as you guys are well aware, we're already, you know, working on utilizing AI for a lot of different things, whether that be recruiting or lead procurement or just being more efficient in our business. And I think that we're in a spot right now that really, to me, any industry that you're in, whether that be insurance, education, you know, anything, you're going to have to jump on the AI train or it's going to run you over. And so I think that's probably one of the biggest things that's going to, we're going to be a completely different organization and a completely different, you know, field altogether, in my opinion, because of that. I don't think that the face-to-face is ever going to go away because I think that most people want that one-on-one interaction and talk to the expert. I think we're a long way away from wanting to talk to a computer, at least most people. You know, so I think that, but I think it'll just make us more efficient. You know, I think it'll not only help us with our current portfolio of products and clients, but it'll also broaden the types of products that we offer. You know, when you can be more efficient with the ones that you already have, you can now put, you know, if you're saving time, you can put that time towards something else. You know, and additionally, I think this growth will take us to other networks of professionals that we can then bring into our Orca family, you know. So it's exciting. And I'm looking forward to figuring it out with you all.
Yeah, there's a lot. You know, I read an article about AI and, you know, like you said, it's infiltrating everything. It was an all-pro dad email that I get, you know. So when you think about parenthood and parenting, and it's like basically same message, hey guys, you better get in front of this because the ChatGPT world and the AI is going to be abundantly running through, you know, how kids are doing their homework and
absolutely
get reporting reports done and how they're using AI to do their homework and their reporting. So it
I about that the other day with Nolan, our oldest. He was apparently using AI for one of his tests that we had to have a little conversation about.
Well, he isn't the only one I've heard the same thing.
Definitely not.
That's a
smart,
right?
He's smart. So Scott, let me ask you this, because you are surrounded by so many sales folks, right? So many sales folks. How have you been able to balance the challenges of working with these smart people?
Well, I will say that can be very tough. You know, but one thing that I would say is it gets a lot easier when you're just honest all the time. You know, when you're honest with somebody and you're not trying to sell them or you don't have an agenda, when you're honest, you don't have to remember anything. You know, if I'm speaking my truth and I tell David something today and he asks me the same question in a month and I don't even remember our conversation, I don't have to remember what I said today, because it was the truth the first time and it's going to be the truth the second time. So I think that's one thing. I get a lot of calls or ask for, conversations where someone wants to pick my brain about something and they know that I'm going to give them the upfront, you know, just straight, honest answer. And so they trust me to give them that, but they also trust me to know that if I don't have the answer, I'm going to tell them I don't have the answer. And I'll go try to find it. You know, so I think that, you know, a lot of times when you get to a leadership role, a lot of times you're hearing the bad stuff. You know, you might not be as well connected to the field and to the ground. And so you'll hear about the bad things first. And I think when you approach it with I have a way about me that can kind of calm a situation. You know, a lot of times sales agents, that they're emotional. You know, the way they make money is weird, you know, and I've been on that train, obviously. You know, their world is a roller coaster. And so it's up to you to kind of, as a leader, to flatten that out a little bit. And I think when you do that, it gets a lot easier. It gets easier to have those conversations. Knowing that, you know, nobody has their finger on the red button here. It's not that serious. You know, we're going to be okay. The sky's not falling. And when you can bring that calmness to a situation, the agent that you're speaking of, they're usually pretty receptive to it. And it gets easier.
I love that because, you know, hey, if I'm being honest, I don't have to remember what I told so-and-so 3 months ago, right? And that's, it's so simple, right?
It is. That was trained into me, Lindsay. As you know, being the son of a police chief, I didn't get away with too many lies as a young kid, and I quickly learned the interrogation tactics that he would use, and he would ask me the same question over and over again, and I wouldn't remember 5 minutes ago what I said, you know. And so you figure that out pretty quickly, and it's a lot easier when you just tell the truth.
Did you start staying calm during the interrogation?
I wasn't very calm during those interrogations.
Yeah, you never know. Talk about the roller coaster there. No, yeah. Dad's capable of. Well, now we live that out on our end of things.
That's right.
You know, but you got to love those sales folks. You know, distribution, I was told, as I've grown, like you said, Scott, I guess I was in my 20s when we started. In this business, and you know, now I'm almost getting to that big number four, right? So
just keep getting
appreciate it. No, I wanted to shout out you. You know, it's great to have some old wisdom on this show. You know, we're surrounded by all these young folks.
That's right.
It's great to be poured into a little bit by somebody that's
well, you know, David, it happens quick. I mean, and I think, I mean, and you all do a good job when you talk on, you know, your podcast, when you talk on your leadership calls, obviously any other trainings or, you know, up on stage with Orca, you guys do a good job of talking about this, but it's living in the moment. You know, it goes by really quick. And you hear the old people talk about, you know, you're going to be this age before you know it. And it's 100% true, you know. And if, you know, I think today we have so many people, you know, we're in this microwave society that they want to be the CEO right now, right now. And, you know, once you get there, you know, you're going to miss when you were the little guy, you know, and you need to live in today's moment for sure.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you know, we just came off of, you know, that session with John Maxwell, 78-year-old man, 91 books under his belt, you know, a lot of life lessons. And, you know, that was the one thing John spoke to was the enjoyment and the fulfillment comes also from sowing the seed. Like, you know, so there is, and I don't think that ever changes. So, you know, Scott, I just want to ask you, because you are very more plugged into the AmeriLife relationship, and we've been so happy with that relationship here at Orca. And you probably have your, I guess, ears to the ground, or however you want to say that, more than anybody else. And I just wanted to just kind of give us your plug on the AmeriLife relationship. What excites you about that relationship, and how you see that will help us as we grow on?
Yeah. First off, I would say that the AmeriLife relationship has been wonderful from the beginning. You know, when you're partnering with another organization, particularly when they kind of hold all the cards, you know, I mean, they're the boss now. I mean, that's when you get down to it, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But I've never felt like I don't feel like I work for Glenn, although I know that's the hierarchy. I don't feel like I work for AmeriLife. And it's because of going back to the first thing. We have surrounded ourselves with like-minded people, and they want us to run our business the way we want to run it, you know. And it's been all of an additive. There's not been, you know, there's some of the silly stuff, you know, like IT sucks sometimes, and you know, there's certain things that I, you know, but
there, that network is secure, isn't it?
It's secure, yeah, and it, you know, and obviously there's reasons why they do that, and it makes total sense, you know, but there's a little couple headaches here and there that's just part of being part of a corporation. But the people that we are able to work with and pick their brains at any given time, you know, I could pick up my phone right now and call 30 different people that would drop everything they're doing and help me figure out whatever problems in front of me. And the cool thing about that to me is that's exactly like us. We've been doing that since we started. So that is my favorite part about it. Being exposed to other things in the industry that I'd never even thought of. I mean, you know, the products that we're able to offer our clients and our agents today has been very eye-opening over the last few years. But the biggest thing I would say that I'm excited about and that I appreciate, and I think that we are the perfect people to partner with on this, is they're very good at dangling that carrot out in front of your face. So the challenge that they lay out for us is important. You know, I think it's easy when you're in your own little world to just do the things that you always have done. And that's fine. You can make some money and you can be successful. But when you have people that have been there before that are willing to challenge you, it's just going to make you better if you're up for the challenge. And so I would say the challenge that they lay out for us is the most fun and the most exciting thing for me.
I agree. And just knowing that you're not there alone, right? You've got other partners within AmeriLife that you can connect with and really understand, hey, how have you been able to move the needle, right? And just to collaborate. And so I know that's been a really exciting part of it. So
no question.
I would say there's great synergy. you know, like you said, Scott, they're very much like us. And I think that kind of ties us all back into a full circle on today's call with the theme. I would put some money down that, you know, you're Scott Perry and Scotty Elliott and Mike and, you know, the leadership of the AmeriLife firm, which is our leadership and the big reason why we were seeking that relationship out. They would probably very much agree with Steve Jobs. And it's not about hiring smart people to tell them what to do. They bring us in. They've really always said that. You guys run your business well. You guys do a great job. You have done a great job. That's why you're here. And we aren't going to get in your way and slow you down. So don't hire smart people. Tell them what to do. Let those people make you better and rise all tides, right?
So absolutely.
Yes. Scott, thank you so much for today and for sharing and pouring in. We are very, very appreciative of you and everything that you do for Orca Life.
Thank you. This is the first podcast I've ever been on. So you guys are new podcasters, and I guess I got my first one under my belt.
There you go. I love it.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, guys.
Guys, for anybody subscribing.
Yes. Thank you all for tuning in today. See you next week.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high-performance coaching and sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial. That's hype.financial to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.